Welcome back to our Groundskeeper Chat series. I am your host, Meg Kruger. I am the content lead with Pioneer Athletics, and we are live from Daytona Beach here at the SFMA conference. I'm joined by my unofficial co-host, Mr. Christopher Bell, which every time I've introduced you so far, I've said Christopher.
I feel like my mother's here, really.
It just sounds better when you're being introduced.
Or I'm in trouble from my mother.
Yes. And I should have sympathy for that because I hate when people call me Megan. But
I understand, Megan.
But I will still continue to call you Christopher. But we are joined by our last guest of the event, and we saved the best for last. And I'll say it again. That's not a secret. We saved the best for last. And she was featured in our Pioneers in the Field campaign this year. But this is not her first step onto the scene. She is a past SFMA president, the first woman to hold the title. She's been a board member. She is a certified sports turf field manager. She's all the things. And she's a great friend. Abby McNeil, everybody.
Hi.
And she's a proud Colorado resident.
Yes.
And so when we had the opportunity to talk for the first time, it was 2020, and you may have been the second or third Groundskeeper Chat guest of all time.
Okay. I do remember the conversation.
Yep. We talked all about how to justify budgets, costs, labor in regards to that, you know, that time where it was so unknown, but how relevant that conversation is in every day. But the best thing you told me, and I reminded you of this a few months ago, and I swear it sticks with me every time. And I just saw somebody had their kid walking around the trade show floor, but I was about to, you know, have my first child, and I had the crib in the background because we didn't have the official studio yet. And I said, well, how did you do it with twins? Like, you know, what, any advice for me as I embark on that journey? And you said you have to bring them along with you. Yep. And you took it further and was like, whether that means on the job or in a conversation, like, you have to, you know, don't lie to them. Don't tell them I'm going here, I'm going there. Tell them like it is. Have those adult conversations with them. And I will say, ever since, you know, with my son River, anytime he's 3 and a half now, anytime I travel, I tell him exactly what I'm doing. He may not understand, but I'll be like, I'm going here, I'm going to do this. And it runs so much more smoothly than when I'm like, oh, mom has to go to a doctor's appointment. You know, it doesn't resonate. He's like, why is mom at the doctor's for 4 days? It doesn't make any sense. So you gave me that advice, and I told you a couple months ago, but it really resonated with me. And talk a little bit about how that really was a core throughout raising your kids and juggling a career.
Well, I had a great career, and then I decided to grow myself, and I felt like I wanted children, as I say that, but, you know, when it came out to it is, why can't I do both? I'm only stopping myself, but in doing it, no different than work, you have to have a team to help you.
Yep.
So you have to be willing to ask for help, and the help of the neighbors, the help of my family and friends, you know, and they're a part of the group.
Yep.
And we're some of the family phrases are, we keep it simple and we're in it together, and we just make it work.
Yeah.
And to me, they're a part of my career. And when I sent the link, I surprised my kids.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And I got back in all capitals from my daughter, and she goes, "Attaway, mom." And I was like, I don't know if I just got like kudos from her.
I think that's kudos.
She was super proud. And it's embracing it along the way, and you're going to have good and bad days. And I have told them, I'm like, I'm sorry, I've got a lot on my mind, I can't do it right now. And so you have to own that, because I'm only going to be as good to them as if other stuff's weighing on my mind.
Yeah.
And so I do have to balance it. And what's wrong with telling them the truth?
Yep. Yep.
You don't have to tell them all the truth, right? But bring it. We have so many fun memories of days that I took them to work in the middle of the summer. Days where they got to ride on my lap. I had one between my ankles, one on my lap, that had the big earmuffs on, and we're driving the five gang to go to the soccer field. So we'd ride across campus on it, and then I'd get to there, and then I'd set them down on the ground. I'm like, okay, stay inside the fences.
Yeah.
It was a giant playpen playground, and I could always see them. And so they were running all around, and, you know, I just bring them along. And they know exactly what this world is about. They know and they've heard me reference other people's fields by their first name. And because it's, that's just what it is. That's what this industry is.
Yeah. So like Sun's field.
Sun's field. When Amy Foudy was with Michigan State, I was like, that's Amy's field.
And
that's,
I love that.
Because that's who they are to me. And while it's a field and it's got a better title and things, I want it to the person that I know.
Yeah.
And we take lots of family trips. It was brought up yesterday as we vacation and we go see people that we know.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of great friends in spring training down in Arizona because I go there, but we've gone elsewhere. And, and they, I honestly think they miss it now that they're older.
Yeah.
It's not that they don't like it. They miss that opportunity to go places. Mm-hmm. So.
So cool. So yeah, they were a main part of the profile I had the honor of writing about you. And we also had the opportunity to talk to your dad, and he was so sweet, so proud. And you talked a little bit about how he instilled so much in that work ethic. And I loved what you said. You know, one thing you taught your kids was something that he handed down to you. When you say you're going to do something, do it 100%.
Yep.
But you know, you also had this incredible community outside of family ties, a family in the industry that I had no problem finding plenty of people to say beautiful things about you. What did that really mean for you when you got to look back and be like, okay, you know, I knew that they had an impact on my career, but for them to give that back and say, wow, Abby changed the course of my career.
I'm still very humbled and lost for words.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I look back at it as every time I've influenced somebody, I can pick somebody or several people behind me that influenced me. Biggest advice I've gotten from previous board members or leadership is you got to share it forward.
Yep.
And so you got to take people with you. And even if it's just by being you and owning your mistakes or champion what you're doing, answering a question, whatever it is make it a difference for both of you and take others. I'm still very humbled by all the words there. I can't digest it all because I just don't have words back. I told you that. I was like, here's one spelling correction and I got nothing. And it's not for anything other than, you know, I don't view myself as any different than anybody else in this association or industry. I've had great opportunities and made the best of it. The relationships are something that you can never take away. And so I'm very prideful of that, and I want to keep building it and contribute where I can. And, you know, it's words are words, and I'll stumble the rest of this conversation if you get me to say it. I'm surprised by some of them, which is a good thing, you know, but it also doesn't surprise me. You're like, give me a few people. And I'm like, okay, how do I narrow this down and not offend somebody that they weren't chosen? Right.
Of course. It's dangerous to start.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you captured it very well. It's like all board members I served with. Well, that captures local level, national level, regional things that I did, because I valued all of the conversations and meeting all those people.
And what did that look like building that community? You know, you talked a little bit about you had to have that community on the home front with raising your kids, but how much of a role did that building that community serve as a lifeblood for your career as well, the people in this industry?
Well, I looked at it as I was one female coming out of college, and there were about 20 to 25 students, and I was the only one that was sports turf, only female.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't let it guide me in any particular direction. I embraced it, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. It just is what it is. And I was like, the only way that I can get better is to surround myself with people that like to do what I do.
Yeah.
And to start having them to be the support mechanism when I have a question. So I kind of had that a little bit with my connections to the local chapter just as I got out of college, because all the other guys were going into golf, and you asked them what a baseball field was, and they're like, I don't know. I'm out.
Yeah.
And so I was able to start, you know, just immersing myself through the local chapter of getting to know people and getting to know those how I could call them when I had a question. And so it evolved from that to my first conference was 1996 in Colorado Springs. I graduated in 1994 from CSU and immediately got in with the chapter, and we started help the planning process all the way around to 96. Of hosting it in our state. We were a little disappointed, we'll go on record. There's a lot of people that would still say that it was in Colorado Springs and not Denver.
Yep.
But we made the best of it. And so that was my first connection with the national board.
Okay.
And meeting all of the great leaders that were there. And then it just steamrolled from that to committee involvement, being part of the chapter relations because I represented the state chapter at that time. And then by the time of my career, I was with the Broncos, and they were like, we'd like you, you know, a professional seat. And they actually offered it to Ross Kirkhead, my boss at the time. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't have the time for this. Give it to get Abby to run.
Yeah.
I'm like, is it like Mikey?
Yeah.
You know, with the cereal? It's like, okay, I'll give it a try. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And thus my involvement with the association at that level. I'm proud to have been a member for as long as I have. I'm proud to say I've served on a committee every year since I became a member.
Yeah, that's incredible.
In 95. And so that to me is I like it because look at all the different people I can call on.
Yeah.
There isn't anybody here that hasn't experienced something that we can't use each other as our biggest resources.
Yeah.
So.
Community was at such a core in your story throughout your career, your legacy. And really that takes it back to, you know, your career in Parks and Rec. It was all about, you know, making a difference in those communities. And I loved what you had to say about that. So let's talk a little bit about how your choice to stay in Parks and Rec and bring everything you know and your expertise to make a real impact in your own backyard sometimes.
Well, my first internship in college was at a Parks and Recreation Association, and I loved it. Bill Wordy was a former board member, and he got me started and for the love of it all. And then I left there and went to the city of Boulder. Westminster Parks and Recreation, I built some things there, and then we went to City of Boulder. Mm-hmm. And during City of Boulder...
I've got the reference, because it's not an easy... So track to follow.
No, I didn't give you all of it. but it's I looked at it too is then the college team came and used our fields for parks. And I was like, that is really cool. I was like, it elevated my game.
Yeah.
And I was an award field of the year winner for our college field at a parks facility.
Very cool.
So it was pretty, I got that. And there were only two of us maintaining that whole athletic field.
So, cool.
So I got ties to the university and I was like, that's where I want to go next.
Yep.
And go forward kind of thing. And so to me, I look at everything I've done from one park stop to where I'm at now is what makes, I can take my story and all the different things I've been through and say, we can do it here.
Yeah.
And we can do it on a small budget too, because just because I was at all those other stops at the professional and collegiate level does not mean I had all the resources I needed.
Yeah.
We still had to be creative. We still were short staffed. We still didn't have enough money. We still had to justify everything. In some places, we had to justify it even more than what I have to today.
Yep.
But then you take the maybe it's because I got older, but then you take the impact to the community, and that's really what was special and really hit home for me when we were doing renovations in underserved communities and fields that hadn't been renovated in 30 plus years. And just knowing that's what this association is about is taking it to that level and, you know, being creative with it and all the resources you had. I had a great team that helped execute it. And the days that they came back and they're like, this resident that's lived across the street from this park came out and said, just thank you.
Yeah.
It brightened their world and made my day. So you know you're making a difference when that happens. So
yeah.
That was very special, and that's what I'm liking to do where I'm at now.
Yep. And I think when we kicked off the show this week, Andy Hubbard talked about, like, you know, it being for the kids and anybody around here, whether they're at the major league level or Parks and Rec, at the end of the day, it's about that athlete who develops a love for the game as a kid. And like, that's what it all comes back to in the end. And, you know, definitely getting to work in those communities and give them a shot at having a professional field to play on is truly special.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just even some of the upgrades of an infield that we took a picture of it because it was a giant bowl, had a duck in the middle of it in a puddle of water.
Oh, my gosh.
And to then show how we changed it, it was our, like, that's our base point is we should have no more duck ponds that are supposed to be an infield.
Yeah.
And I have some pictures of some really rocky soils that they were playing baseball on, and they shouldn't be. They deserve better than that. And let's find a way to give it to them.
Definitely.
And make that investment back into it. And even if they don't use it right away, they now have programming. What I tell people is that we actually sat with our youth program coordinators and said, where do you want to expand your youth programming? Mm-hmm. And then they would tell us. And we're like, okay, we haven't renovated a field there. Let's go in and make it better for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we really worked collaboratively of where they wanted to program it, because they didn't feel like they had the safe fields or resources to do it, I was like, let's go do it.
Yeah.
So we planned at least 5 years of the 8 years I was there that way. So.
And, you know, having a majority of your career be in Parks and Rec, it was either Travis or Chad yesterday in the keynote talked about, you know, in your organization, do they see you as a professional? And especially at that level where they may not have any concept of what it takes to, you know, do the math and science of this everyday job. How did you really solidify yourself in those rooms as a professional, pull the chair out, get that seat at the table for yourself, and make sure that when you came to the table, you were prepared and, you know, able to represent the industry?
It took a lot of time to break all those barriers at any location. You know, I shared this with our director, and he said, I was like, I survived talking in front of a large audience. And he was like, great job. And he goes, if only the community really understood the value of what a local sports turf manager does to provide the same surface as their favorite athlete, the world would be better. And I was like, if my director can say that, and he's an aquatics guy, he comes from that side, but he gets it.
Yep.
And so having some champions internally understand that helps say, no, they need to be involved and they need to be a part of it. And so it's through the conversations and the networking in your office space and not giving up and not backing down. You have to almost learn to talk their language to be able to get that door to open, to be able to then get the seat at the table. And it's not trying to not be who you are. It's understanding how your message needs to connect with what they're trying to get. And I've evolved it over time. I've been patient with it. I've had a lot of supervisors embrace the fact that I have the credentialing, I have the knowledge, I'm willing to share it. I still have stuff to learn, and they'll bring me along too. So.
Definitely. Well, very cool. And we just had Aaron Fink on, and he talked a little bit about how, like, in their organization, like, even the fans that come to the games know who they are. And I thought that was cool because we talk a lot about social media, especially this week. You know, I even had an entire session about it. It was a big part of the keynote. I went to a session this morning, social media. But paired with what you just said, finding the people in your own internal office, your own internal community that can champion what you're doing and just know what you're doing, that holds just as much importance.
Yeah, I was in a meeting last week on a trail connection that's an underpass under a major road. A couple major projects happening. And I won't necessarily have a lot of influence in it, but I got a seat at the table.
Yeah.
And when they pushed out the Pioneer in the Field recognition internally, the director of economic vitality stopped and said, thank you.
Oh, wow.
Great job. I've only crossed paths with him like six times, and one of them was at the meeting. And I know who he is. I was like, wow. I was like, how is he connected to what I do?
Yeah.
And he doesn't necessarily have to be that true connection. Is he sees the value in what I'm offering.
Yeah.
And the value of what I'm trying to bring to the city, not just to my team.
Yeah.
And so I think it resonates out that way a little bit. But, you know, just, I guess it's just the, you know, proof's in the pudding, but don't give up.
Yeah.
But I really think it's like anything. When you give a talk, you have to know who your audience is. So when you're trying to get that seat, or the push in, or the value behind it is, I think sometimes we have to step outside of who we are every day and go the other direction. We can't always be, there's two times when I'm like standing behind operations and not seeing how it'll affect recreation.
Yeah.
And so I have to bring in how it's going to affect recreation and tie it into them. So there's a connection to buy-in.
Speak their language, find what resonates with them.
But don't let your message get watered down in the process.
Of course. Yeah.
I mean, it is that. But it's in anything you do, you have to find a connection to the other person or audience to bring that equality and find that middle ground.
Definitely. And so you had the opportunity to go to the women, in turf team. They had, you know, a gathering last night, and to be in that room and see how many of us have assembled at this rate. You know, how excited are you for those students or someone at the start of their career, knowing that they don't have to go at it alone like you had to in many cases, like that they have that community built in already?
I think it's amazing. When I was sitting at the keynote, the first two rows are just dark shadows.
Yep.
Because it's so blinding in front of you. And just to see this, the see it out in front of you. And then I went to the student challenge and just see the female presence. It's just overwhelming and amazing. I mean, I remember when the Women's Initiative got started, there were less than 15 people in the room. I was proud to be one of them. Mm-hmm. I have to thank, you know, Mary Owen and especially Linda Whiteman for not backing down. And I was on the board when Linda wanted, I think she'd gone off the board, and she asked me to present it to Bobby Campbell at the time, our president. And he's like, it can't be a complaining session. I'm like, it's just a gathering.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bobby would be proud because he did come around. But in my opinion, Bobby would be proud of just how the positivity that's come from it. And so I don't ever think of that because we shouldn't be a group of complainers. And I don't feel that at all from this group. This group is amazing on all the things that they're doing. And you can see that by the number of students that are here that are female.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, students.
I just saw a pack of four of them walking around together, and I was like, that's unheard of.
And all from different schools.
Yeah, crazy.
And to see them in there and to be a part of it, and, you know, it is part of the diversity is different genders, but we're now starting to represent who we serve, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is coming around quite a bit, and I'm proud of it. I mean, it's overwhelming and just exciting, and let's just keep it going.
Definitely. And I love what you say there, like, I think the strong narrative of that group has been like, hey, we're not standing around to say like, you haven't done us service. Like, they're bringing everyone along with them and saying, these are the rooms where I was welcomed. I've always been welcome, you know, and really not letting the narrative be like, you know, they want more people to come into this industry because it's a great industry for women.
I mean, I look back at parts of my career and there might have been a spot or two where I paused because I didn't feel welcomed, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to make you feel uncomfortable because I am here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
take back that power.
And just divide it up. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, I belong here as much as you do.
Yeah.
So let's work on this together.
Definitely.
I mean, I still have moments where I can remember as an intern, and Ross was working me through the Bronco training facility at the time, and he just walked right through the locker room, and I went and stopped. I was like, I can go with him, or I can politely walk around. I was like, I'm going to walk around.
Yeah.
Because
I'm
not going to put myself in a spot that just seems super awkward for both of us.
Yeah.
But it was one of those, he didn't think anything of it. And that was a learning moment for both of us. Well, you think about that. That was the early 90s, you know? And I just didn't back away. And I was just like, I'm here to, I took the grunt jobs. I had a quick couple blow up in my face and got soaking wet. And he's like, you okay? I was like, yep, I will be. I find my sunglasses that landed over there. Great memories. I'm grateful that, you know, he saw that I could offer something. And again, I wasn't going away.
Yep.
And so he embraced it. So, you know, I owe him a lot of just sticking it, the stick-to-itiveness.
Of course,
hanging in with me and showing me the ropes.
Well, yeah, definitely mentors that didn't shy away from, you know, building you up, supporting you in your journey. What were some of the common threads or attributes that you can look back of the mentors that you've had the opportunity to work with that, you know, it was like, that's, those values are what changed, you know, my career or them, you know, them as mentors, this is why they made an impact.
Honest conversations
and
being there for honest feedback and truly just, you know, giving me the advice that I needed. We're NCIS fans in the back in my house, so it's the DeNozzo slap on the back of the head when you need it. Like, hey, wake up. That was not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But being there and, you know, you have an emotional day where, you know, no offense, it's a hard day.
Yeah.
And have the people where you can reach out to get you through.
Definitely.
I can't say if I know very men that could relate to that or would admit to it, but there's nothing wrong with women admitting to it and having those rough days. So I think it's just an okay thing to do. And just
Definitely.
The support, the people to kick you forward and hang on to you and take you along.
Love it. And Chris, you asked a really good question to Sun earlier about, you know, managers in this industry. If you want to pose it to Abby as well. You said it much better than I could try and put it together.
Well, I probably won't say it as eloquently as I did the first time. But I guess, you know, Sun had pointed out that it's still a very male-dominated industry, significantly different than it was when I started coming to these 15 years ago. So my question to her was, from a male management standpoint, what are the little things they can do that they may not even realize are big things, even though they seem like little things? They can help encourage any females of any age really in this industry to, you know, keep on doing what they're doing.
Yep.
And this is a place for them.
be as welcoming to me as anybody else would be. Right. Why should gender be the difference between the two of us? Mm-hmm. I mean, why would you start by treating me differently?
Right.
You know, but don't be so soft and fluffy with me.
Yeah.
Be hard. Just don't let it be the thing, the elephant in the room, I guess, is mm-hmm. what I would say is what, you know, I don't treat my male supervisors any differently than my female supervisors mm-hmm. that I interact with. It's really just embracing. We talked about it a little bit. It's knowing that not everybody wears the same uniform. I mean, yep. as soon as you go to clothing, I mean, would you put...
That's literally the same thing that's...
Right. Think about it. On the recreation side, it's always been the case. I mean, you don't buy the lifeguards the same outfits. Mm-hmm. I want to see you in a one piece.
Yeah.
And I mean a full one piece.
I look awful, by the way, in a one piece.
You know, but... So why are we doing it any differently? Why are we drawing the line? So it's having those equitable opportunities to make sure everybody feels welcome and not let... The differences between you and I, or whether it's gender or race or religion or any of the things that make that difference, mm-hmm. be an impactful answer.
It's
just that embracement.
It seems like an obvious answer, right? But I think it's not always naturally obvious to some people. And it's good to hear and just have that reinforced, like, oh, yeah, okay.
Well,
I should know that. Why am I not acting that way?
Yeah, and they have a female joining the crew, and they're so excited about it. And when you're really, you know, excited or, like, hyper aware of a situation because it's the first time it's happened or, you know, what have you, you just sometimes don't act natural. You just are like, oh, I have to treat this person differently because this is a different thing, you know?
I think the bigger thing is it's not necessarily with my upper immediate. It's actually... Some of the crew members are like, you can't handle that chainsaw. I said, get out the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me a try too. Yeah. You can start rapping and dancing. But that's the thing is, why can't I handle the power tool?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll tell you, the one unit I don't like to operate is the sod cutter because it outweighs me and just sends me everywhere, right? But it's okay to still want to be there.
Yeah.
It's okay to work with them side by side and hard work, but you don't get to always operate the big tools.
Yeah.
I want to too, because I want to have fun.
Yeah, that is the fun part.
It is the fun part, but even if you go into it with fun, they still don't take you serious. So I think it's more on some of the equipment side of things. Again, my past directors have had no issues. And actually, when they see you be very firm, my last director was like, glad you're on my team.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take that on. So... It's a balance, but it's just treating everybody as you want to be treated. If I want the same advantage, I got to give you the same advantage.
So
that's how I approach
it. It's like a kindergarten principle, right?
Yeah.
Treat mm-hmm. everyone how you want to be treated.
Yep. And then take a nap.
Or a loved
one. Well, on that note, Abby, thank you so much for, you know, the last few months having the opportunity to dive deep into your story. It was such an honor, and it was a pleasure to write a short snippet on you. And your legacy will reach far beyond any words that we can put on a paper, but I think we're all aware of that. And thank you for the last couple minutes here, just joining us at the booth to talk a little bit.
It's an honor to be recognized. Every honor that I've gotten along the way, I don't know how to embrace very well, mm-hmm. But it's very humbling, and it takes time to settle in for me. But I'm just blessed to be a part of the group. I have three great colleagues that are with me, so I'm like, yes.
I know, yeah. It was an all-star group this year.
Yeah, I felt bad for the two gentlemen I don't know well, but I'm going to go know them well now.
Well, there's some up-and-coming energy from those two, so it's exciting.
It's very exciting to be recognized by your peers. And, you know, it's just I like what I do, and I'm glad that I can do it with a great group of people.
Definitely.
So thank you for the time.
Oh, wow, what a soundbite right there at the end. Awesome. Thank you so
thank
much.
You.